Okay, got your Bibles, hold them up real high. Let me see them. We're going to do this tonight. Open your Bible to the book of Romans, please, in Romans chapter 1, and lay your finger there. Romans, please, chapter 1. And then I want you to go over to the book of 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to go back and forth. But I want you to go, now, and here he comes. Now we're ready. He's coming to the front row. He's got his heart right. He went down to the closet, got in the closet, and he prayed. And he said he's going to give $10,000 to the building fund. He's doing this. Second, okay, the book of Romans, please, in chapter 1. And I want to read verses 18. Now, everybody knows what's going on. I think you do, coming up in October with the LGBTQ crowd over in Somerset. All right. Everybody's been, when I say everybody, you cannot believe the conversations that's been brought up about this. Now, I want you, and by the way, I was listening to the WTHL, Brother David Carr, and he's calling listeners, and he done an excellent job on this woman that said, well, you ought to love them. You ought to love them. The Bible commands us that we are to love them, but we're not to love their sin. Amen. Now, listen, let me get into this. The longer it's done, the more people that do it, it becomes what? Acceptable. Let me say it again. The longer it's done, the more people that do it, it becomes acceptable. Now, I want to read, please, verse 19 in Romans chapter 1. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto what? Unto them. Now, look in verses 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things are made, even his eternal powers and Godhead, so that they are without what? Now, let me stop right there. There's not going to be nobody going to stand before God that God did not give an opportunity to be saved. Nobody. Nobody's going to stand before God that God did not give them an opportunity to be saved. Now, look in verse 21. Now, the word because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were thankful. Now, watch. But they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now watch this. Wherefore also God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up. Now, I want you to look at this. Twice now, we find that God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, they burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meant. Look in verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now here's the answer, next verse. Would you say the two words? Say it with me. Being filled with all unrighteousness. All right, if you take a glass of water and you fill that glass of water up, then there's no other room for nothing else. It's filled up. Notice in your Bible, it says they're filled, the Bible says in verses 29, with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now, won't you, who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now, notice they know it. That such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do what? Do them. They had pleasure. Now, three chapter, it says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, listen to what I want you to, the Lord impressed on my heart. In John 3, verse 3, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again. All right, when an individual comes to the end of themselves and they trust the Lord Jesus, the shed blood, minus nothing, plus nothing, then God will save them. Amen. And God forgives everything they've ever done back there. Do this. All right, your sins are forgiven. Your name is wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But because you are saved does not give you a license to go out here and practice sin. If you're saved, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. Now, I can do anything I want to do. But when you get saved, the Spirit of God takes up His abode inside of you and He changes your want to. I want you to keep your finger in Romans chapter 1. Go to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me read this to you if you don't mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and look in verses 19. Ready? I can quote it, but I'd rather read it to you. Look in verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6. What? Paul said, "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own." Do y'all see that? You're not your own. Verse 20, "For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's." All right, man is a triune being, your body, your soul, and your spirit. Your physical, your mental, and your spiritual. All right, but this flesh that you're dwelling in will absolutely, it's your enemy. It will destroy you. But we're living in a culture and in a society, everybody's talking about changing the culture, changing the culture. Listen, if you change a person's heart, don't you agree with me that that will change the culture? Well, y'all not agree with that. If you change a person's heart, all right, he's not going to be making liquor. He's not going to be drinking liquor. He's not going to be selling liquor. What I'm saying is everybody's so concerned about the culture and they're concerned about everything around them except your black heart. Amen. That's what I think that everybody ought to be. Churches, and this is no disrespect to y'all. Churches today, we're living in this time of what I call deception. All right, when people are genuinely in love with the Lord, they'll be faithful to the house of God. They'll love the Word of God. Amen. They'll love the things of God if they're in love with the Lord Jesus. But in Matthew 24, it says, "The love of many has waxed cold." Read Revelation 2. It says, "They've left their first love." Now that brings me up to this. Go over to the book of 2 Thessalonians with me right quick, hurriedly. I want to read it to you right quick. And look in your Bible and then go back to the book of Romans. Look with me, please, and look in verse 3. Porter, will you agree with me? 2 Thessalonians 2, and look in verse 3. Look in verse 3. Everybody in here, I want you to look in verse 3. Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica, and the Bible is God-breathed. God-breathed. It's a supernatural book. Amen. Look in verse 3 and look what it says. Let no man do what? Say it again. Let's get in unison a little while. Let no man deceive you. That's what he said in verse 3. By any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. All right? The Antichrist is working overtime 24/7 to deceive God's people. You'll always have the flesh to contend with, but primarily the war is on our minds. And whether y'all like this or not, where do you think that this came about? When I was a boy, how many of y'all used to remember the Grand Ole Opry? How many of you ever heard it on a battery-operated radio? You didn't, Turkey. You don't ever seen a battery-operated radio in your life. We did not have electric in the house. So we had a lot of these people know what I'm talking about. You had a 6-volt battery. And you used that battery, you put a ground rod on the outside, raised the window, put the wire in, and you would hook that, do y'all remember what I'm talking about? And you'd listen to like the Grand Ole Opry. Or you'd listen to when the war was going on between Korea. We did not have televisions. All right, the devil is the prince and power of the air. He's the God of this world. I know a lot of people, and my wife is one of them, that is really hung up on all this Facebook. Facebook, your face, his face, my face, all this stuff. I'm against it. Let me tell you why. It's going to be the death of our churches. It's going to be the death of our homes, and it's destroying our nation from within. I told her on the phone, there's a lot of difference If I've got something to say to him, then sitting here texting it with my fingers, do this, texting it like this, or me going or getting on the phone and saying things to him, or if I look at him and he and I are face-to-face, right? And we're looking at each other. You'll never convince me that if he's indwelt by the Spirit of God and I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God, we ought to be able to reason our differences out. Not get mad and throw a fit. I know of a church that just lost 28 people as a result of Facebook. 28 people. I could get on Facebook. No, I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I could get on Facebook and I could make up a lie on anybody in here, and 99% of the people that read it would believe it. Say amen right there. That's the reason why I'm Junior, I do good to turn the phone on, let alone a computer. But look here for a moment. Let me show you why. It comes in, it's like a paralysis. It creeps in. How you remember the Bible says in, I think, 8 times the book of Genesis, he said everything that God created, he said it was good, it was good, it was good, and then it was very good. Look at corn. That's a good sustaining food for us. But look what the devil made out of it. You can make corn liquor out of it. How about barley? It's good. But look how the devil has turned it. Do this. Well, what I'm saying is everything that's good, the devil, he makes it ugly. Now watch this. Let's go back and I'll read it to you. Look, if you would, in verse 7. Now, a mystery is something that's concealed. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Paul said that in his day. Only he, the Holy Ghost, who now letteth, will let until he be taken out of the way. Then that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs. And notice now watch, and say it back to me. Lying wonders. Now watch this, watch. With all deceivements of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion. Notice where the delusion comes from. It says, and for this cause, God himself is going to send them a strong delusion. Why? Then don't you what? That they should believe a lie. Who's the father of lies? John 8, verse 44. The devil is he's a father of all lies. In John 10, Jesus said the devil comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But in verse 44 in that chapter in John 8, he's the father of all lies. Y'all ever, when you was a boy growing up, did y'all ever get the devil beat out of you for telling a lie? My mama would whoop you in the inch of your life, and there wasn't no such thing as a white lie. She'd just jerk you up and beat you half to death. Now let's keep your Bible there. Keep your Bible. I want you to go back to the book of Romans. And I want you to look, if you would, in verse 21 and verse 22. And I want you to write this down. Ready? Look in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Notice that word, neither were they thankful. It's unthankfulness will throw us on a downward spiral, straight down. Just like this. Why do we have to have one, we call it November Thanksgiving Day? Why do we have to have one day out of a year that people somehow or another sort of get thankful? And then they don't even do that, Miss Kathy. They call it Turkey Day. How about this one? What is today? Today. 9/11, correct? How many of y'all remember what happened? Almost 3,000 people died in New York City. In the Twin Towers. All right, look up here for a moment. How many of y'all remember the day after, the Sunday after 9/11? Do y'all remember the President of the United States wanted to have a day of prayer? Church houses, doors was open, and policemen, firemen, everybody and their brother was hugging each other. There's over 6 million people in New York City. And New York is not the most hospitable state and the whole union, but they're hugging each other and loving on each other after 9/11. All right, where are they at now? It's just like it's a dead issue. Nobody even talks about it. Nobody even hardly mentions it anymore. Say amen. But see, 9/11 made us think about it. Why did it have to be New York? It could just easily have been Kentucky. But see, somehow, no, I'm not trying to rebuke you, but that's like Brother Billy. Let me tell you why people, we should train ourselves and discipline ourselves to be thankful people. In Psalms 100, he says, we're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and be thankful unto him. Normally, let me tell you what people do. They're not really thankful until it becomes in jeopardy. To think that we might lose him, or we might lose her, or we might lose a child. Say amen right there. Until you go in and the child's running a temperature of 102 degrees, and first thing you know, they're going to go to the chapel and they're going to pray. And Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. And I'll go to church and I'll rededicate my life to God. But as soon as the crisis is over, they'll forget all about those. Well, everybody says, Brother Sisson, how many of y'all remember Israel? When Israel was in Egyptian bondage 430 years, God brought them up out of Egypt. How many of y'all remember they went 3 days, got out in the middle of a desert, and they didn't have no water, and then they started murmuring against Moses? Well, I told my wife, I said, God told him, says, beware lest thou forget. Beware lest thou forget. And we're blessed, just like the brother said, we're blessed, amen, sister, we're blessed people. But somehow or another, it's like that old adage, you don't appreciate the water till the well goes dry. Amen, sister. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. I want you to write this down. Notice in your Bible this word, this about being self-deception. Brother Sisson, what do you mean? It doesn't make any difference what I believe. It's what thus saith the Lord. Self-deception. How come all of a sudden that they come up with New Age movement, the new ladders, the TEV, REV, ASV, every kind of version of the Bible you can think of? How come this stuff came into existence some about 20-some years ago? I mean, really started ramping up. How come that? Brother, we're getting ready to exit this world. And that's this thing about self-deception. These poor people are deceived. They think they got all kinds of time. Things is just going to go on just like it's always going to go on. No, it's not. Let's go now. Let me show you. This self-deception. Brother, sister, what do you mean by that? People are deceived about conversion. Old time salvation works. It changes you from inside to outside. Now look at people today. They say they're saved. They say they're saved. Yet there's no change in their life. They're deceived about the matter of conversion. They think they're going to go to heaven because they had some kind of feeling or some kind of an emotion. Or because mama died, or daddy, or they lost a daddy, or I was visiting a family today, they lost their dad. And we were talking, they're good Christian women, but I want you, people, they'll get all tore up at a funeral. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. They'll get all tore up at a funeral, and as soon as the funeral's over and they get back to their cleaning house or jobs or whatever they do, they just sort of forget it to the next funeral. The matter of self-deception. I shook hands with the preacher. I was baptized, or I joined the church. You ought to do that if you're really saved. But they're deceived about conversion. They're deceived about the church. You can't believe at the times that I've been asked this question. Brother Sisson, why are there so many churches, buildings, this church, that church, this church, on and on and on? Well, if you was the devil, what would you do? I'd deceive people. Look at them. One says you got to hold on. The other says you got to turn loose. One says you got to do this. You got to be a member of that. You got to do this. Self-deception. Now I want you to watch. Now watch. No man is born atheistic. It's a learned thing. Amen, sister. You know how I know? If you look in Romans chapter 1, the Bible says God has showed it unto them. That's in verses 19. And the invisible things of him from the creation of the world is clearly seen. There's not going to be no excuse whatsoever. Well, brother, sister, there's Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Catholics, Church of God, and they'll name them all out. Jesus is going to judge you according to the Word of God. All right, listen to what I want you to get this. I want you to get this way down inside of you. The Bible is a supernatural book. God breathed, amen. All right, in John 12, verse 48, the same word's going to judge you. Watch this. Look down, if you would, in your Bible, and I want you to write this down in Romans chapter 1. Look, if you would, in your Bible, in verse 25. Everybody get this one. The Bible says, in verse 20, who change the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And the Bible says, for this cause, and the next verse, God gave them up. God gave them up. Is there a point to where God will not deal with people anymore? Is there a point to where God will not deal with them anymore? All right, if you go to the book of Genesis, do you remember what God told Noah? He says, Noah, he wanted him to build what? Build an ark. He says, you have 120 years. At the end of that 120 years, Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives went into the ark. How many of y'all believe that they tried to get into the ark? Why in Genesis chapter 7, the Bible says God shut the door. Because if God had not shut the door, Noah would have opened the door. A total of 8 people God spared in the antediluvian age, the Noahic flood. What are you trying to get me to see? There's a time out there that God's going to say, all right, that's enough. All right, God has, if there's a time schedule. When Jesus comes right now, if he is to come right now and you're not saved, washed in the blood, you'd be left here. Ooh, that's frightening to me. Now watch this. Watch. You've got to see this. It says, and for this cause, God gave them over unto vile affections. Look at our culture. Look at our society. People are now saying, well, they're a missing gene in their body. They were born that way. No, they were not born that way. Man is a sinner by nature, by practice, and by choice. Amen, sister. I'm going to tell Brother Billy on every one of you. For this cause, God gave them over unto vile affections. You're wasting your time on me. Hebrews chapter 13, God says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and idolaters, God will judge. All right, if you'll read the book of Genesis, God gave Sodom and Gomorrah up. Do y'all remember? And he rained fire and brimstone down from heaven and destroyed all of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you think that God is going to spare America? No. I don't have time to develop and show you every bit that I'd like to show you. You ought to see how much this is a permissible lifestyle in different Austria and I think Norway. You ought to see how it is permitted. Whew, Lord help us. Just go back and look in verse 25. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. All right, self-deception. All right, now listen, the light reject you. How many of you, before, let me do this. How many of you got saved the first time you heard the gospel? First time you ever heard the gospel? I didn't. How many of y'all went several times before you got saved? I want to see your hand. I want to see. Look at that. Most of us, the Spirit of God has to soften our hearts up before we'll ever get saved. It's not that God couldn't save you the first time. He could save you. I believe God can save a young person. I believe God can save any age of individual. But it depends on how much they've heard the gospel in between there. It's how much mom and dad live in front of them. It's how much gospel they hear at the church or Sunday school. That's the reason why it's so important. But look at us. Look at us. So we do away with Wednesday night. We do away with Sunday night. We do away with Sunday. We just do away with everything. Say amen. And look at that. We put gun control in our schools. Now then, we have to arm our people in the churches. What is wrong with us? I'll tell you what's wrong with us. Need a good dose of salvation. Let's go back to Romans, please, chapter 1. Now, I want you to watch. So we find self-deception. That's verse 22 and verse 21, verse 22. Then there's what I call satanic deception. What do you mean by that, brother, sister? If you look down your Bible, now you need to see this. Who, knowing the judgment of God that they commit since things are worthy of death, now won't not only do it, but have pleasure in that do them. Brother, sister, there's pleasure in seeing, but it's for a season. I heard something today on radio that just nauseated me. Everybody's talking about AIDS, HIV. This one, they're going to give them $50 million for research to develop a serum for HIV. Why have they not done that for cancer victims? Look up here, everybody. Look at me just for a moment. That HIV is a result of an ungodly lifestyle. All they have to do is quit the ungodly lifestyle. Oh, y'all don't agree with nothing I say. But I'm saying that that nauseates me to think everybody wants to give. Well, we're going to give $50 million to help find a cure for HIV. Well, look at me. All you have to do is change your lifestyle. Amen, Brother Sisson. Let's go now. I want you to look. They had pleasure in unrighteousness, verse 12. And the end results, the Bible says, whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds. Drop down. I want you to watch this. Brother Sisson. Okay, let's stop a minute. That hurricane out there on the coast of Florida, a Cat 5, did y'all see that? A Category 5? Did y'all see where in California at the same identical time there was fires burning houses down, people taking water hoses just trying to protect their houses? So on one end of the coast, you got it burning down. On the other end of the coast, you got a hurricane, a Cat 5, coming on shore. Brother Sisson, look at the Mississippi River. What was it, a year and a half ago, got sapped out of its banks, snakes everywhere, I mean destroyed untold property. When are we going to wake up as a people and see that God controls the wind and the elements? But we don't see that. We think, well, Brother Sisson, that's just a coincidence. Get alive. Let me show you. Man in their lifestyle, God does everything to bring them to their senses. We're blinded to it. Not only self-deception, verse 22, not only this, not verse 25, satanic deception. Now watch this, drop down, and you've got to see verse 28. The Bible says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, I'm not trying to be facetious. Okay, let's go out here. What did it get today, 93, 94? All right, look at the people on the lakes. That's a classic example. They said there'd be over 250,000 people in Pulaski County on the lake, up as much as 300,000 people in 3 days. Well, I thought, everybody says, well, that's good for the economy. For even as much they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Look at them on Sunday. My wife and I, you'll see them. We're usually going somewhere an hour behind, and they're pulling their boats and campers. They're going. They ain't got their mind centered on God or the Lord's Day or the church or nothing else. Right. They got their mind on what? Pleasure. Right. But you see, there's pleasure in sin, but for what? Say it. Season. Everybody. Oh my. Okay, now watch this. Look in your Bible. God, in verse, if you're looking 2 Thessalonians, it says God's going to pour them out a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. Well, here we find in verse 28, as much as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. How many of y'all ever watch commercials? I get so aggravated sometimes. I wish, Jesse, I need to borrow your gun because I'd like to shoot the thing. No, I've got one to shoot it. But you see two men kissing or two women kissing on a commercial, but they just all of a sudden put it in there. That's a subliminal message to get you to accept it as a norm lifestyle. I got to tell y'all this, Porter. You need to hear this. My granddaughter, her 30th birthday. We went to a birthday party of my granddaughter's, and her husband had a friend that married this woman, and they have 5 children, little stair steps. And they live in Massachusetts. And she is a biology teacher, 13 years in a Massachusetts school. Everybody look at me now. Out of 733 students of hers that she's had in 13 years, how many of y'all think what percentage would have been lesbians or cross-dressers? We're talking about up in Massachusetts. 33% of them were transgender, lesbians, or whatever, homosexuals. 33% of the high school students. Now let me ask y'all a question. We're all adults. How do you think they go to the bathrooms? I asked her. I wanted to know. She said, they now have revolving doors. You have to... In the bathroom door, it revolves like this. Y'all seen them usually in a shopping center. You get in the thing like this, and you take 2 or 3 steps, and it goes up. And when it does, it opens, and there's a stall door, and you open the stall door, and they go in there and close the door. Then it goes up to the other one, and they can go in the stall. And they have to stand there and monitor that. I said, who pays for that? Who pays for the metal detectors? Who pays for a revolving door in a public school? The taxpayers. So we are supporting their lifestyle. Amen, Sisson. Make sure taxes. Brother Sisson, but as much as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. I honestly, before God, folks, I've never seen anything like it in my life. It's just like a downward spiral. Now, I've got to show you this. Now, look in your Bible. They crossed the deadline. Proverbs 29, verse 1. You read it for yourself. Over and over again, three times in this chapter, God gave them up, gave them over. Well, if I have any sense at all, once God gives them up, they're just fuel for the fire. That bothers me, 1 John 5. That's not to save people. That is not to unsave. That's to the saved people. He says, there is a sin unto death. I need not you pray for it. 1 John 5, verse 17. Now watch this. You need to see this. All right, so if they cross, of the ultimate rejection of the truth is God gives them over. All right, the result of this delusional thinking, and you have to agree with me. Look at me for a moment. What do you do when you watch television? Everybody answer me at one, huh? Eat? I don't know what he said. We eat. Let me look up here at me. If I know anything, you know what we do? Nothing. Your mind is disengaged. My wife and I the other night, I counted 12 commercials on one show. 12 commercials. I get so sick of watching commercials. Look at y'all's faces. Have you ever wondered why that they bombard us with all them commercials? Have you ever thought about it? Just, I mean, over and over and over again. They know that if they get it in front of the people, the longer it's done, the more people that do it, it becomes accepted. Especially when people of authority put their approval on it. Oh, Brother Sisson, might as well just wade out in this deep water. Not in self-deception, Brother Sisson. They're without an excuse. Second thing, the satanic deception. They receive not the love of the truth. The third thing, the sovereign deception, strong delusion. God's going to pour them out a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I told somebody the other day, and I don't mean this in an ugly way, I love little babies. I could eat their ears up. I had this little baby. I was preaching like a wild man. And I just picked that little baby up, and it's a little infant, wasn't it, Mary? Where I was at Sunday. And that little thing had more hair than I've got. That ain't a whole lot. But it was just black as cold, and I had it here in my arm. And I told everybody, the only hope for that baby, and it was, what, 6 weeks old? I don't know. But the only hope for that child is a mom and dad that loves God and a church that preaches Jesus. Right. That's the only hope for that baby. Our school's teaching non-gender. Ain't that awful? Amen. A little baby, you can't even put on a birth certificate if it's a male or a female. I'd do it or die. They wouldn't do that to me. Can't put on a birth certificate, a boy or a girl. My soul, say amen. And then in schools, now listen to this, non-gender. By the way, the young girl in Massachusetts said this, I couldn't get over this. If I'd have had false teeth, they'd have fell out. Here's what she said. She said, if I fail to call, where if one of them's name was Alex, and then they've changed their name to Alice, and I somehow or another forget their given name or whatever they want to be called, they write them up, and they can only be wrote up so many times, and then they're fired. Is that not awful? They change their name from a male to a female name, or a female to a male. Help us, Lord. Now, look at me for a minute. What? Oh, don't get me started. A 13-year-old boy in a bathroom with a bunch of girls. Ain't that awful? But I'm saying this is what we're facing. Boy, we need a moving of God. Amen. Individually, we can be revived. Our homes, individually, we can have all of God we want. But I'm telling you, the door is closing. You remember one time I come down here? I want you to watch this. Watch. Here's what's happening to us. The door's open. I'm talking about prophetically. There's grace for you to be saved. But the door is just closing real slow. And then God's going to shut the door.
That's right, man. Amen.
God is shutting that door. I have never seen anything like it in my life. I want us to stand, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I know you worked on jobs and tired, but I want you to get this. This deception. Oh, dear God. Father, from the depths of my heart, God, speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for that day that, God, you saved my soul. Lord, I pray for my children and grandchildren. God, I pray that, Lord, you bring revival, Lord, to this blessed church. Oh, dear God, our homes and individually. And God, if there be one here unsaved, finger around that heart and please draw them. But Lord, if there's one here, oh, dear God, I think about it. God, don't give up on them. Lord, they wouldn't even be here tonight. Lord, them three times it says you gave them up. Lord, I think about Brother Billy tonight. Would you please touch him, Lord? Surely somebody here tonight, God can get a hold of you for Brother Billy and Miss Chris. Bless his family. Lord, he's been faithful. Lord, sometimes in our life it's easy to quote Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for the good. Then, Lord, it's hard living. Please, God, tonight help us save that soul that's nearest hell. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, you have a need tonight. I plead with you to come. We'll pray with you. We'll help you any way we can. Oh, we need the Lord. We need him. Without him, you can do. There's a...